ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाधृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेद्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिताहिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां शारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। चातुर्वर्ण्यं मया सृष्टं गुणकर्मविभागशः तस्य कर्तारमपि मां विद्यकर्तारमव्ययम्। As an answer for a question, when everybody can reach you, when you are ready to help them in gaining Atmajnanam, why people don't come for Atmajnanam and Moksha? Bhagavan was answering for this question, hypothetical question. He says that fault is not mine. Because of their clouded thinking, they vote for petty gains which can be gained in this world. And even though they go for petty gains, I prefer to help them in achieving those gains. And for that reason, I have created an infrastructure, namely Varnashrama Dharma, Varnashrama Vyavastha, wherein a person can grow individually and fulfill all his personal desires, and at the same time he can contribute to the society. Ultimately, that very lifestyle will help him to go for Atmajnana. In the last sloka, Bhagavan told, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam. It's a grand statement. From the modern perspective, modern society blames that this Chaturvarna, Chaturvarna means what? Division of society into various groups is the cause for untouchability in India. That is a blame based on ignorance. Bhagavan says, this division is not a man-made division. It is done by me. This division of society, we will see what are all those divisions. This division of society is done by me. Maya Srishtam. I am the Srishtikarta of the Jagat. I am the creator of this world. Along with all types of creation, this division also was created by me. Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam. But he qualifies that division Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. The division based on Guna and based on Karma is done by me. So we have to dwell on this particular point, because centered on this issue there is a hatred in the mind of an ignorant person, of a normal man, about the very culture itself. There is a hatred. Such a grand religion which has great philosophies, but still it had in its past history a stain called untouchability. Therefore, many people prescribe the very Hinduism itself is problematic religion, remove that. There was an attempt in the 18th or 19th century that all the so-called modern reformers in our country, in our own country, people started hating the very Vedic culture. Not that their arguments are wrong, but their arguments are not judged from the proper angle. So we will see that. What is the meaning of Chaturvarnyam Gunakarma Vibhagashaha? Then we will go for the next statement of Bhagavan, that Tasya Kartaram Abhimam Vidya Kartaram Abhyayam. We will see afterwards. Before that, we will try to understand what is the meaning of Varnashrama Vyavastha. Because if Bhagavan is doing something, it will be precise. Because the entire creation is the orderliness is the one unique feature. Whether we create a machine and it works or not, the machine which was created by Bhagavan works nicely up to that lifetime. The machine called this human body, we imagine the left of heart without any rest, 70 years, 80 years, it is working. Suddenly we say, no grease is there, so I will stop, no grease. So everything in nature you see is a perfect product, very well assembled with a particular purpose. Utility is there, assemblage is very perfect assemblage, and lot of software is there behind every product. Similarly, when Bhagavan says, I have created this Chaturvarna, there must be utility, first thing, and it must be a perfect or precise division it must be. So Bhagavan says, I have created Chaturvarna. So what does it mean? It is an unique infrastructure given by the Lord Himself through Veda. Because Veda only talks about this Chaturvarna. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Chaturvarna is talked not in ordinary Puranas and other things. It is talked in the Veda itself. Veda prescribes if he is a Brahmana, he is eligible to perform this particular ritual only. A Brahmana cannot perform Rajasui Yaga. Rajasui Yaga is meant for only Kshatriya. Like that, it divides the humanity, it classifies or categorizes the humanity and then prescribes the duty according to the category. So here, this infrastructure is meant for both individual growth and social harmony. Individual growth, both types of growth, material growth and spiritual growth and social harmony. If a person goes through them, if the society follows them, follows what? Varnashrama Vyavastha, then that individual and society lives in happiness and harmony. This infrastructure will certainly exist up to the end of this creation. Nobody can destroy this infrastructure called Ashrama Dharma and Varna Dharma. What is that meaning? We have to understand properly. What is the meaning of Ashrama Dharma? Let us see. Human beings' individual life is divided into four spans. The entire human life is divided into four spans. Brahmacharya Ashrama. Ashrama means what? One particular stage. Up to 20 or 25, that individual's life is kept in the Brahmacharya Ashrama. What does it mean? The person who is within this age is committed to learning. Learning of what? Learning about the society which he is living and learning about his own goals, whatever he wants to have in his life, his own goals and the means to attain those goals. And he gets a training how to achieve that goals, and he gets a training with regard to moral values. Without moral values, if a person comes to the society, he proves to be or he happened to be an anti-social element. That's why the so-called intellectual group which is coming out of the colleges, whether IAS, IPS or any other higher officials, you take them, all are highly educated, but there is no moral value in their life. So without moral value, if the person comes to the society with high education, what he will do? He will cheat the society, he will become an antisocial element. Therefore, Brahmacharya Ashrama is meant for training and learning with all austerity. Austerity in the sense of self-control, because that adolescent age is a very problematic age. If that age is not handled properly, entire personal life also is going to be a problematic life, then society also will have problems. Therefore, in our culture, in our Vedic culture, above 7 year old child was not kept in the society. They were taken to the forest. Nobody can live in the society after the age of 7 or 8. Maximum up to 10th age they have given some exemption. So after that, up to 20 or 22, that fellow has to be in forest only. Forest means what? Gurukula, college, schools. In those days, schools were not kept inside the society. It was kept outside the society so that they can be handled. This adolescent society can be handled. You imagine a society wherein there is no adolescent at all. Beautiful society, no problems. All are matured or children. In society, members are either matured or children. Both will not do any mischief. The mischief monger is who? This adolescent age. So they were taken care of by some other gurus, some other teachers, and that too in forest. So when they come out, they come with a proper attitude towards the life, proper self-control. That is what missing in modern education. So that is called Brahmacharya Ashrama. Then when the person comes out of that Brahmacharya Ashrama, he is forced to take any one type of life, either go for marriage or go for sannyasa. Otherwise, the guru will not take back his fees at all. In those days, there is no advance fees like modern college, pay the advance or get out. Now, you can pay any amount you want. You can pay at the end of the course. What is the end of the course? 12 years course. 12 years you have to study under one teacher. So the teacher will tell, select now itself what type of life you are going to have in your future. Are you going to be an householder or are you going to be a sannyasi? If you are going to be an householder, go and select a girl, print marriage invitation, bring it to me, then I will take your Guru Dakshina. Up to that time I will not take it. Because in selection also he can do some mischief. In selection also, according to his whims and fancies, he can do some mischief. So Guru kept a string, controlling string. And if he is going to take sannyasa and Guru finds that he is eligible for sannyasa, he is that sannyasa. Otherwise, 99.999% are asked to take the householder life. What type of life it is? Grihastha Ashrama it is called. It is a life wherein you implement all your knowledge, whatever you learnt in your Gurukula, you implement all your knowledge and achieve your goals, your personal goals, through proper means without violating moral values. And one thing is taken care of, his life should be governed by dharma. Whatever profession you take, you take, but your life should be governed by dharma, and you have duties towards the society. There are 5 major duties which are in the category of Pancha Mahayajna. It is called Pitru Yajna, Deva Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, Nru Yajna. 5 types of Mahayajna, they are called duties. Nobody can escape from those duties. Within that duties, worship comes, study of the Veda comes. Because nowadays, after getting away from the college, do you open your book, syllabus book? Never. As even the exams are over, books are waved into the waving machine and put it into the second sales shop. But in those days, no. Whatever you learnt, you remember up to your end of your life. So Shastra says, you have to perform all the rituals or whatever you have learnt in the Gurukula. By that, Nru Yajna is a service to the society, human being. So a person contributes. And while going through that Grihastha Ashrama, he gains certain maturity. He earns a lot of money. As a young boy, he had enough visions about his life. I should become like this, I should become like that. He becomes like this also and gains a lot of name and fame and money also. But afterwards also he finds, but this is not a fulfilling one. Na vidyena sarpaniyo manushya. That's the maturity he gains when? After gaining lot of crores of money. Na vidyena sarpaniya. Money will not satisfy me completely. Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha api sarvam jivitam alpameva. This life is not only meant for artha and kama, not only meant for sense pleasure and earning. It is meant for some other higher purpose. That maturity comes when? After going through the Grihastha Ashrama. In the very lifestyle itself will make you to understand anybody you depend, they will deprive you and go off because their staying is not under your control. It is under the control of Yamadharma Raja. So therefore, anybody I depend may disappoint me. Any situation may disappoint me. So I should be matured enough not to depend upon the external factor. All this maturity comes how? By going through the Grihastha Ashrama, householder's life, and by serving the society. Grihastha is the one person who earns for the entire society. Neither Brahmachari can earn, student cannot earn, nor the retired people, Vanaprasthin can earn, nor the Sannyasin, renunciates can earn. Only one person has to earn and he has to provide food for all the mouths. So it's a grand and great responsibility. Since he has taken that way of life, he has to perform those duties. While performing those duties, he comes with certain maturity. This is what life. And a grand maturity is what? Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. Sense pleasure doesn't have any end. No end for sense pleasure. I cannot spend the entire life in this direction. Whether I like it or not, my body and sense organs become weak just by kala, time takes care of my body and sense organ. Even if I want to have certain pleasures, I cannot have. So I cannot depend upon those sense pleasures for my happiness. This is the grand maturity. Then, na vittena tarpaniyo manushyaha. Wealth and possession cannot make me happy person. Without that also, there are so many people happy. With that also, there are so many people suffering. Then, api sarvam jivitam alpam. My life may be a grand one, very pomp and show one, victorious one, but still alpam eva. Everyone has to die. Before dying, I should make something grand according to me. What is that? Finding out the solution for my samsara, finding out the solution for the sufferings of human life by knowledge. So when a person understands his goal of life, that atmajnanam is the goal, slowly he gives the chavi. Chavi means what? That key authority. Nowadays, aviye vittalam, chaviye vide. I am ready to give prana, but chavi I will not give. Chavi means what? Authority. I will not give my children authority. Because insecurity problem. If I give the authority to my children, they will certainly throw me out or put me in the old age home. Therefore, I am ready to give prana. Up to prana, I will keep the checkbook. Nowadays, no chavi. Nowadays, only credit card. Aviye vittalam, credit card vide. Why? Insecurity problem. Immaturity it is. My life depends upon certain bank balance. The bank balance was earned by me, but now I feel it is going to protect me. What a unfair judgment, immature judgment. But in those days, this judgment was not there. Everyone who has enjoyed the life, pleasures of the life, after fulfilling the responsibility, 50 years, 60 years, over, whether he is a Raja or anyone, even Raja, what he did, he made his son as Yuvaraja, gave all the powers and authority to that Yuvaraja, and he says, you take care of your life, protect the society, and I am going, where I am going, don't ask this. I am going towards Adhyatma Marga, I will live for us as an unseen person. Can you imagine? Yesterday he was with all pomp and show and luxuries of life, today he is ready to go even without a mattress. He doesn't carry mattress, bed. He doesn't carry bed to forest. He says, I will lie down on the mud, I will live in a hut, maybe with wife or without wife. Both options are there. That is called Vanaprastha Ashrama. A life of withdrawal, turns towards the inner life, gradually withdraws from external responsibilities, takes to contemplative lifestyle. Now what happened? Even after retirement, even after society told you are already 60 apart, the working ability is gone, please get away from me, like that the society says, that's not the meaning of retirement. You please retire, because you will not get retirement. If the society allows or the government office allows or the company allows,
He will work up the AP also. Work means what? He'll come and put the attendant. That's all, nothing else works. So society says, get out. After 60, you are not eligible to work because mental capacity is gone, physical capacity is gone. But still what happens? I am retired but not tired. So he goes for second employment. He goes for second employment. After 60 or 65. Up to 60 he was running towards something. At least after 60, if he withdraws, there is a possibility of gaining that happiness and peace. But still, he doesn't choose the type of life of withdrawal. Why? Not practiced. But in those days, Vanaprastha Ashram is voluntarily giving up and preparing oneself for the final departure consciously. Upasana Marga it is called. First two will be under Karma Marga. Karma Kanda we call it. Brahmacharya Ashrama and Grihastha Ashrama will be based on Karma Kanda of the Veda. Vanaprastha Ashrama will be based on Upasana Kanda of the Veda. And Sannyasa Ashrama is the final stage of life. Every individual is asked to take Sannyasa. In our society, the best retirement plan, what is that? Make your mind to live under the sky. That's the best retirement plan. In our country. Prepare your mind to live under the sky without a home, without people, without even knowing where your food will be available. When your mind is prepared in that way, so no botheration about the food, no botheration about the place where I am going to stay. In that life, a life which is committed one for knowledge. From the Brahmacharya Ashrama itself, he can choose that type of life, or after going through Grihastha Ashrama or Vanaprastha Ashrama, he can choose this life. So, yad ahareva virajet, tad ahareva pravrajet. Either he can go stage by stage, or when he finds that he has that enough maturity, he need not go through all this process. See, somebody has put his finger in the fire and burnt his finger. I need not put my finger also to know that fire burns. Then I have maturity to know that fire burns from others burning. Shastra gave an opportunity. Okay, you have learned that lesson, you go directly. Otherwise, let them go through the process. This is called Ashrama Dharma, four stages of individual life, wherein if a person goes through that four stages, he contributes to the social welfare and he becomes a complete person with all maturity. Every individual has to go through these stages, if not physically, at least mentally. Otherwise what happens? Even after physical retirement, even after 70 years, if a person has a liking for sense pressure, suppose, it's a hellish life, his body or his physique and sense organ doesn't cooperate with that type of desire. Suppose a person want to eat that chakli. Chakli means what? Muruku. What is that? Some sort of snacks. Munching that snacks requires teeth. 70-year-old, so teeth has gone. But that murukku asa is there, that life for snacks is there. What he'll do? Whenever somebody munches that snack, yo, my teeth has gone, what to do? Even after putting full bridge also, it is not permanently staying, now and then it's going. So that desire will make the life hellish. So according to the age, the person should overgrow from the certain types of desires. He has a habit of seeing so many cinemas, suppose. In young age, he has developed that type of habit. Daily, two shows. Evening show, night show. 1 o'clock, going to bed. Now what happens? Cataract has come. After 60, cataract. But still he is not able to overcome those type of desires. What will happen? Hellish life. So Shastra says, whether you go through physically all these stages, whether you take sannyasa or whether you run away to the forest or not, that is not the matter. That is not the purpose of this teaching. The purpose is you have to grow mentally at least. From the student life, you have to grow as a matured citizen, a responsible, enlightened citizen of this society. What is the sign of being matured and enlightened citizen? You will be a contributor
rather than the grabbing person. Now everybody grabs, everybody grabs, nobody giving contribution. Tax also collected is what? Out of fear of punishment, out of fear of law, the tax are collected. Very few minds are happy when they pay income tax. Correct? That's why they have put TDS, tax deducted at source. Because if government allows you to pay on your own account, you will not pay. So it is taking forcibly, TDS it is called. Why? Maturity is very, very less. So Shastra says, a person should gain maturity, mental maturity, when he is a student. If his student life is taken care of, if proper values of life is given at the student level, then all the social evils, whether it is corruption or adultery, so many evils are there, all will not be there. So that is called Ashrama Vyavastha. Second one is called Varna Vyavastha. What is that Varna Vyavastha? Four types of categories in human society. Three types of Varna Vyavastha is there. Four types of categories are there. You have to listen carefully. Four types of categories in human society. First one is four stages of individual life. Second one is four types of human society. What are they? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And these categories can be based on three criteria. One criteria is the human society can be divided or categorized based on character of a person. Guna based categorization. Second one is karma based categorization, profession based categorization. Third one is jati based, that is janma based categorization. Here Bhagavan says, I was responsible for guna based categorization, profession based categorization. This much he says. What is the meaning of guna based categorization? Guna means what? Character, natural inclinations. Human mind can be analyzed or categorized based on its inclinations. Suppose we call someone good, we call someone bad, we call someone noble, we call someone very bad, cantankerous. So all these four categories are there. Noble, good, bad, cantankerous. Correct? Like that, here, Guna Brahmanaha means what? A person who is sattvic. This human mind is a component of sattva, rajas and tamas. In human life we see, every day mind is at certain period of time, his mind is alert, ready for any type of learning. And the same mind goes very dull. Before going to sleep, what we do? Tamas predominates. And the same person is very active at certain period. So, every day, human life is governed by these three, sattva, rajas and tamas. And every day means every month, every year, entire life. So the person predominantly sattvic, if he is a sattvic person, predominantly a person with lot of character, lot of proper attitude, then he is called a guna brahmanaha. What is that character which differentiates that person from the other members of the society? Tranquility of the person, the tranquil mind. He is not perturbed, he is tranquil without any worldly desires and with contemplative mind. His mind is always a contemplative one, a noble one. He can give his own life for the sake of others. Noble, contemplative, tranquil and absence of desires makes the person to call as guna brahmanaha. Then guna kshatriyaha, he is governed by rajas but backed by sattva. The first brahmana, guna brahmana, is governed by sattva guna. Satvaguna stands for clarity of thinking, maturity, alertness. Rajoguna stands for activity. Since the Kshatriya is predominantly governed by Rajoguna, his life will be an active life, but it is backed by Sattva, so it will be an unselfish active life. First life is contemplative life. Brahmana's life is contemplative life. Kshatriya's life will be active but unselfish. He is very active but he will not have selfishness. What does it mean? More people will get benefit out of that action. And the third category is Guna Vaishyaha. He is also active but selfishly active. Because he is predominantly governed by Rajoguna but backed by Tamoguna. Tamoguna stands for selfishness. Therefore, he will be very active, enthusiastic, but he will be selfish. Society will get less benefit, he will get lot of benefit. And he won't mind to cheat others also. So that is the Guna Vaishyaha. Then Guna Shudraha means the person who is inactive. He will be sitting in the house, he will may be thirsty also, but getting up and reaching the fridge is very difficult for him. So he will see, he say that way, anybody, sister or brother is going or mother is going, hey, can you give me one bottle of water? They know he is a lazy fellow. Even to eat, very difficult for him to open the mouth. What to do? That type of lazy. So he is called Guna Shudraha, very very inactive, dull-witted, non-thinking. Thus, gradation in human life is according to the gradation in thinking capacity. That is the one criterion which differentiates the human life from the animal life. This thinking capacity. Animals don't have thinking capacity. Their life is totally governed by instincts. So this human being who refuses to think, who doesn't have the clarity of thinking, then he will be very near to the animal. So all animal instincts will be very strong. You can see animal channel, something comes na. So there they are showing. So lion will be sleeping, sleeping, sleeping very lazily. Unless the hunger pushes that lion, it will not get us. Because it will have once in 10 days or 15 days only food. Full meals you will have. So afterwards what? Digestion. So their life is what? Eating, procreation and sleeping. That's all. So a lazy person's life also will be a tamasic person governed by tamoguna, backed by rajoguna, and least is sattvaguna. He will not do work. If at all he does work, it will be for selfish purpose. So gunabrahmana is more contemplative and noble, governed by sattvaguna. And guna kshatriyaha, active but unselfish. Guna Vaishyaha, active but selfish. Guna Shudraha, not active at all. These four categories will be there in any society as long as that society exists. Nobody can destroy these four groups. There will be some people who are very lazy. Parasites they are called. Their contribution to the society will be very very minimum, very very selfish and lazy. That group will be there. And there are people who are active but selfishly active. That group also will be there. And there are people who are active but unselfishly active. That group also will be there. And there are people like Jesus Christ, like Mahatma Gandhiji, like other great noble people, Swami Vivekananda, that type of people also will be there. They are contemplative in nature. If at all they come for work field, and that whole humanity will get the benefit of it. So these four divisions will be there as long as the human society is alive. In any society, whether it is tribal society or a modern society. Any society you go and see, there will be two people who are very noble and contemplative. There will be two, three people who are very active, that activity is for the sake of protecting others, and there will be some people who are active but it is meant for selfish interest, and there are some people who are not at all active. Then second categorization is based on karma, profession based division of human society. This also was created by Bhagavan. He says guna karma vibhagashah. This also will be there as long as society exists in the creation. What are they? Karma brahmanah. The brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra is same. If it is based on guna, it is called guna brahmana, guna kshatriya, guna vaishya, guna shudra. If it is based on karma, karma brahmana, karma kshatriya, karma vaishya, karma shudra. What does it mean? This karma brahmana is the one who is dedicated for learning and teaching. His profession is what? All scientists come under this, all teachers come under this. His life is for learning and teaching. His life is meant for propagation of knowledge. Then second, karma kshatriya, this person is dedicated for protecting the society. Profession wise, he has chosen that profession by which he can protect the society, soldiers, administrations, all people who work in administration, soldiers. So this is the person who is dedicated to protect the society. He serves the people actively. He is very much extroverted but still unselfish. And first, karma brahmana is introverted. So you cannot be a scientist by attending all the dinner parties, night dinners are there, na? So many clubs. You cannot be a scientist. You have to be indrawn. Your world will be separate. If you go to Indian Institute of Science, they say they don't have time even to shave. I go now and then, dirty cloth, hairstyle will not come under any style, and just really lift out. So I ask, they are very good people, thinking people. What happened? No time, Swamiji, no mind also for that. I cannot divert my mind for these small, small things. So their mind is totally introvert. It is a profession, not based on guna. Then third category is karma vaishyaha. He is the person who brings wealth to the society. First person, karma brahmana, brings knowledge, keeps the knowledge in the society intact. And karma kshatriya takes care of the protection of the society. Karma vaishyaha takes care of the material welfare of the society. He produces wealth. All farmers, business administration, finance, economics, so many categories are there. So they are called vaishyaha. They are bringing the wealth, but in that bringing there is a little bit selfishness. Profit must first, then we will take care of the society. Correct? But with regard to a soldier, there is nothing called profit or loss. Security is a first, therefore I am ready to give my life also. He is a karma kshatriya, a person who says, my profit is first, then I will take care of the society. All businessmen do strike, we will not get our food. One lorry strike enough, we will not get our food. They are serving the society, but selfishness is there as a prime motive in their profession. Then fourth is karma shudraha, the people who have taken a type of profession wherein thinking is not necessary. So he is ready to do whatever you say. He doesn't have clarity of thinking. He doesn't have guts to decide. So he is ready to implement. All the people who are working under someone are called karma shudraha. If anybody works under someone, he is called karma shudraha. This division also will be there up to the end of his creation. Any society you go, there will be somebody to rule, there will be somebody to educate the society, there will be somebody to do the business, there will be somebody to help all these three categories. Shudra helps all the three categories. Then third criterion and the division of society is Janma based Chaturvarna. Here also Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is there, four divisions, but based on janma purely based on the caste of his parent. Caste of his parent becomes his caste. One single person can be caste wise brahmana, profession wise kshatriya, guna wise shudra. Take for example a businessman who is born to Brahmin parent. He is doing business. Lot of people now in business, na? So he is born to Brahmin parent, but he is doing what? Business. And that also he tries to evade taxes, means what? Guna Shudra, Karma Vaishya, Jati Brahmana. So a person can be looked into three angles. From the angle of his janma, he is so and so. From the angle of his karma, he is so and so. From the angle of the character, he is so and so. Suppose you take an army man, he may be born to a Shudra parent, but since he is an army man, he is what? He is a karma kshatriya, and he is ready to give his life. And there also he has all types of nobility, contemplativeness, interest for learning more and more. Then he is guna brahmana. In our society there are so many people who are by birth shudras, but by guna brahmana. In any temple you go, caste wise they are low, but guna wise they were higher people. Even Bhagawan had to come and recommend, hey, give him respect. He is greater than you in character. You take a priest, people who are doing puja in the temple. Suppose he is born to a Brahmin parent, but he is doing Brahmana karma, he is doing. But if his attitude is, I will do puja nicely when I get more dakshina, they will first see what is the length of the note you are putting on the plate. If it is big one, Rudra can be 17 minutes. Rudra, there is a prayer called Rudra. Namaste Astu Bhagavan Vishvesh, that one prayer is there. So that Rudra can be 17 minutes Rudra, if it is 500 rupees dakshina. If it is 100 rupees dakshina, it will become 14 minutes Rudra. If it is 50 rupees, it will become 10 minutes Rudra. That means what? Karmataha is Brahmana, but according to the character what? Motive is what? Business. Suppose he is given to vices like drinking, alcohol and the other adultery, other things, he is Shudra. Though he is born to Brahmana family, and though he has taken the Brahmana karma, still his character can be worse than the Shudra. So a person can be viewed at three angles. One and the same person can be janmataha, one type, karmataha, another type, and gunataha, third type. Arjuna was janmataha kshatriyaha, karmataha also he was kshatriyaha, but gunataha he was greater than kshatriya. Now the question comes, this is the division of human society. First is divided based on character or natural inclination. Second one is based on profession. Third one is based on birth. So first will remain as long as the creation is there, human society is there. First will be there. Gunataha, somebody will be there greater, somebody will be there lower, somebody will be there in between. And profession also, a society cannot be governed if everybody is allowed to rule. Nor a society can be governed if everybody goes for learning. So all become scientists, suppose. We imagine. All become scientists. Nobody works. What will happen? So it is impossible. Division of labor is a must for a smooth running of the society. So this division of labor will be there as long as the society is there. And human character also cannot be the same. So therefore, division in the human society will be there according to the character also. The third one only is an optional. Third one, division based on were is an optional. That's why Bhagavan told, I am not responsible. Silently told, guna karma vibhagam. Guna karma vibhag. Chaturvarnya maya srishtam guna karma vibhag shaha. He did not add the guna karma janma vibhag shaha. He did not add. Because there is an option. Whatever Bhagavan has created, there is no option. There is no option for us. Instead of breathing in oxygen, okay, one day we will breathe in carbon dioxide, methane, helium. Instead of drinking water, let us drink what? Petrol. No option. Instead of walking through legs, let us walk through head. We don't have option in creation. Because the creation is a well-designed one. Our Acharya Swami used to tell, suppose a person thinks, oh Lord, what type of human body you have given this? It is very problematic body, like that he says. Then I ask, why it is problematic? Why you say? Because somebody sneezes, the nose is right here. Somebody sneezes. So naturally all bugs come to me directly. So the nose should not be here. It should be on the top of the head, like a chimney. Suppose, imagine, like a chimney. Chimney, you know, that in house, they will have a way wherein air can pass. This also air only passing, so this should not be like this, just in front of my face, so it should be on the top of the head. Okay, Bhagavan says, okay, tathastu for your sake, let us see after one day what will happen. So by the time, you want to have a coffee, and you are allergic to tea. Suppose you go to a place wherein you get something, they both are same color, so you want to know whether it is coffee or tea. What you will do? You are afraid of taking it and tasting it because it is an allergic. So before tasting it, you should know the item according to its smell. So how you smell? The nose is top of the head like chimney. So what you have to do? You have to put the cup upside down, correct? Then you say, oh Bhagavan, whatever you have done is a perfect one. You see, now you take the coffee and before eating, because an external thing goes inside the body, that means there must be some care. There must be some alertness and I should be very sure whether what I am taking is proper to my health or not. Smell will tell me that it is a thing to be taken or it is not a thing to be taken. That's why many drunkards, if you observe, they will close their mouth and pour. Correct? Because it is not a thing to be taken inside. But still, human mind has that capacity or willpower to neglect it. But the approach is suffered. That is different. So nose is kept just above the mouth because the smell will tell, hey, take or don't take. Correct? So whatever Bhagavan has created, no choice. Eyes are meant to know only forms and colors. Ears are meant to know only sound. You cannot exchange. Okay, let me exchange and let me see through ears. Can you do it? So whatever is in the creation is choiceless. Because Bhagavan says, it is done by me with all lot of software involved. Don't think that being a creator is an ordinary thing. So here also, guna karma vibhagashaha, Bhagavan told, these two orders of division, human society will be divided in this order. Order based on character, order based on profession will be there in any society. Third one is the optional. You can have or you need not have. So now the question is, of these three types, that is janma, karma, guna, which determines the superiority of the person? That's the problem, na? Superiority, inferiority is the problem. So first is, a person's superiority is not based on janma. Nowhere we find in the Shastra, he is son of a Brahmana, therefore he should be given respect. Nowhere we find. If his character is good, then only he was respected. If he is doing at least Brahmana karma, priesthood, then he was respected. Never just based on Brahmana kula. So, Jati Brahmana, Jati Kshatriya, Jati Vaishya and Jati Shudra, all are equal. No person can claim superiority based on his caste In fact, the present caste problem is the outcome of this human defect. This is a human defect, not created by Bhagavan. You will see how that human defect has crept into our Vedic society. So if anybody says that I am great just because my parents were Brahmin, so it is not a proper claim. He doesn't know even Gayatri, he doesn't know even Sandhya Vandana. So that's what our Acharya Swami used to tell. A boy of Brahmin family was initiated into Gayatri and Sandhya. So after 3 days, the boy forgot some mantra. So he came to father and asked, Father, I have doubt, so I have forgotten the mantra. Then father told, hey, when you are initiated, you tell. 3 days before I was initiated. If you cannot remember a mantra which was given 3 days before, how can you expect that I can remember a mantra which was given 40 years before? That is now the so-called caste Brahmin. It has no meaning at all. There is no value in claiming that I am a superior person when I don't know even a simple Gayatri mantra, because that's the basic one. Omkara next to that Gayatri. Leave all other mantras. Now many people don't know. Their Upavita. Upavita means what? Janivara. Sacred thread. Sacred thread is used as a keychain. So where to put the key? Tie there. Or to scratch the back. Because hand doesn't reach the back. So how to scratch? Put the. And he says, I am superior to others. I am superior to others. The Gayatri mantra has to be given for the child at the age of either 6 or 7. He takes the Gayatri mantra and Upavita just one day before his marriage. Because the marriage ceremony requires, you have to hold that Upavita, the sacred thread the fellow has to hold in a marriage ceremony. For that one, thread is necessary. So, put one day before, you have to give one day before, that's all. Then next day he removes the top. And he says, I am Brahmana, therefore everybody should respect me. It is a useless claim. So jati taha, there cannot be any superiority or inferiority. Since certain group has claimed the superiority based on their birth, based on jati, therefore all problems creep into the Hinduism, which ended in the form of untouchability. It is a most heinous act in human life, human society, especially in Hinduism. In every society, this untouchability is there. If you go to Western nation, there was an untouchability based on color. You are black, therefore I cannot touch you. It's a most heinous act, so it has to go. That superiority, the claim that I am superior based on my birth, is a useless claim when a person doesn't have character or at least profession to that superior birth. So it has to go, it will go. That is a great contribution of modern generation. So modern science has achieved that contribution. You cannot claim just by parentage, you cannot claim that you are superior to another individual. Show your proficiency or show your character. If you show your proficiency, every member of the society will bow down to you. Naturally, he will bow down to you. You need not ask respect at all. If you show your character, if man of character with all virtues of human life, actually you need not ask at all. People will bow down to you automatically. So second one is the person's superiority based on karma. And here also, there is no superiority or inferiority. All professions are equal. Each one is great in his own place. Swami Vivekananda used to tell, no person can claim superiority because of his profession. All professions are equally important. Which profession is unimportant, you tell? Can learning be the unimportant profession? Can teaching can be an unimportant profession? Can protection of the society can be an unimportant profession?
So no profession can be irrelevant and unimportant at any period of time. So there is no possibility of having superiority or inferiority. But there is certainly, there is a superiority based on character. Character based, Gunam Brahmanaha is a superior most because of his nobility, because of his self-abnegation. Totally he has effaced selfishness, is more contemplative. When Swami Vivekananda comes in, when he utters some words, entire humanity bows down to him, even though they did not know who was that person. When he utters, sisters and brothers of America, entire audience, 6,000, 7,000 audience, bow down to him. Why? There was a character in that. There was a character. So, Guna Brahmana is the superior most, Guna Kshatriya is second place, Guna Vaishya is third person, Guna Shudra is the lowliest one. Shastra says, everybody should try to become Guna Brahmana. Gunataha, if you are a lazy, good for nothing fellow, please try to become little active, maybe with selfish interest, try to become active. Then try to become active unselfishly, then try to become contemplative and you go beyond all these gunas. As even you grow in your character, you will receive the respect. Otherwise, there is no possibility of gaining actual respect. Your profession based respect is there, na? That is as long as you sit on the chair, that's all. Start like that. The police department you go, they will give one perfect salute. But when you retire, Gani, even if you walk on the street, nobody by Oktane Ogre. Right? But if you are a man of character, whether you are in profession or in retirement age, sir, where you are going, sir? How are you, sir? Like that, people will ask. So, Guna Brahmana is a great person. Society has to produce more and more Guna Brahmanas. There will be gradation on this base. More details of this Varnashrama Dharma we will see in the next class. Being important one, I am trying to go deep in that, because this is the one of the main contention of the modern mind, based on which the modern mind hates the tradition. So that should go. Therefore, we will see the more details in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.